Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Happy Friday. That is my message to you at this very moment. Happy Friday. It's a lot happening in sports, and I was saying this earlier on the show, this is almost a precursor to the period we're about to get into. It's a taste of what's coming up in the month of April. And actually, I mean, we can throw in the last couple weekends in March, too, with March Madness and one of the grandest stages in sports. I know so many of you, actually, I'll say so many of us, we look forward to this next few weeks because of the craziness and the potential and the unique nature of the college basketball tournament. It's brilliant. Every time they talk about tweaking the tournament, I yell and scream and kick something that's within my reach, not people. Because it's perfect the way that it is. You couldn't ask for anything better. Even when they added the four teams in Dayton, the first four, I felt like it was tinkering for no reason whatsoever. But fine, we've gotten used to those. It stretches out the first week, so we get games on both Tuesday and Wednesday. And it's a neat opportunity for some schools that might not otherwise get the national stage to themselves. So, okay, I've gotten used to it. But it's kind of funny that your bracket challenges give you the games and the winners in Dayton. So, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next week, absolute insanity. Will we see another 16-1? Will we get 2-3, maybe 4-12-5 upsets? The fun starts with a selection show on Sunday on CBS, and it will continue with our show on Sunday night, our big selection Sunday blowout. I always look forward to it. It's crazy. It goes so fast. I'm worn out by the time it's done, but it's awesome, and it sets us up for what is, you know, the greatest 4 days in a row in sports. Can you think of another 4 days in a row? Now, if you're a huge golf fan, the Masters is amazing, right? Or, I mean, think of any of the big golf tournaments that maybe you love. But in terms of the mass appeal, can you think of four other days consecutively that are as good as these four? People who have absolutely no knowledge of college basketball, tune in. Oh, and it's that time of the year where you have to find those foreign channels, like True TV, which actually, I changed my cable package not that long ago, and I didn't check to see whether or not I have True TV. Thankfully, there are apps for that. So we're getting excited about March Madness, and the return of Zion Williamson could not have come at a better time for Duke or at a better time for the sport as a whole. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, happy Friday to you. Happy almost weekend. If you're like me and it's your weekend to do your taxes, well, at least they'll be done by the time we reconvene on Sunday night. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, we've been throwing out a variety of topics, and I love the responses that we're getting. I honestly never anticipated that I would get so many responses to my Hard Knocks question. According to HBO and its rules that eliminate most of the teams in the league, there are only five teams that fit the criteria for Hard Knocks in 2019. And so it's a weird mix. Two from the NFC East, two from the Bay Area, and the Lions smack dab in the middle. So it's Lions, Raiders, Niners, Giants, Redskins. Again, according to HBO criteria, not mine. I didn't pick those five. Although some of you clearly think that I did by your responses on Twitter. No, the Steelers are not a candidate. The Browns are not a candidate, unless, of course, HBO changes its rules. Okay, so these five teams are candidates. Which one do you want to see? Lions, Raiders, Giants, Niners, Redskins. I could make a case for all of them, and you're making your cases as well. A-Law Radio on Twitter or our Facebook page, and while you're on social media, be sure to join the After Hours Bracket Challenge. Zion Williamson returned with a smile, with a couple of those guttural roars, and with a performance that can be described so succinctly as dominant.
Cross court, it's Boeheim in on Reddish. The longer player forced the pass, and now a steal by Zion. And a run out, and a right-handed rack attack that sends this place into a frenzy. and then tried the lead pass, and that was taken back by Syracuse, but it's high in the air. Jones a lob to Barrett to Zion! Flying in to rock the rim! Reddish back for Zion, top of the key. Thought about a three instead. Reddish on the right. He'll take it. It won't go. Zion got the rebound, put it off the window, count it, and a chance for three. He is taking over here in Charlotte. Zion has it deep in the right corner. Nearly lost it. Had to bounce it out for Barrett. Now for Jones. Into the post, and Zion cutting through. Put it off the window and in. A spectacular finish. Falling away to the left. Here's Jones on the left for three again. That one's short. Zion the offensive board. Puts it off the left window for two more. Zion's got 29.
I wanted to be out there every game. You know, I see my brothers out there battling, and I just wanted to go to war with them. There was no question about it. I knew I was going to be back. Everybody has their right to their own opinion, but I knew I was coming back the whole time.
Obviously really pleased to advance. We still don't have our full team back, but getting Zion back after missing almost a month is huge. I thought we played great defense for about 12, 14 minutes in the first half, and then when we had some transition, we had about three in a row where we made mistakes when we had a 15, 17 point lead, and that gave them some momentum, and then they can shoot, and they put a lot of game pressure on us, and our guys responded in the second half.
He's breathless by the return of Zion Williamson. Coach Krzyzewski, Zion before that, he said he had no pressure from anyone to return too soon, which of course, you can understand that. The Duke Blue Devils, the administration, the coaching staff, they don't want him to come back before he's ready because of the type of game he plays. It's explosiveness, it's power, it's being able to leap over tall buildings in a single bound. So for him to come back with a gimpy knee would have been a really bad idea. But Zion also reemphasizes the fact that he was never going to miss the rest of the year. And here's the best part. Yes, the Blue Devils look like a totally different team with him on the court. He goes 13 for 13 with 29 points and 14 rebounds. Many of them were on the offensive end. The Orange had no answer for his bulk in the paint, as you heard with David Shumate on the Learfield IMG College Network. So it was a dominant performance as a statement. Hey, the Blue Devils are still a force to be reckoned with. But the best part is that he finally gets his Duke UNC experience. So remember, he blew out the shoe, which was a Nike Paul George, in case you're keeping score at home. He blew out a shoe in the first minute of their game at Cameron Indoor. And then he missed the other half of that rivalry in the season finale. But as luck would have it, dumb and blind luck would have it, I don't actually believe in that, Duke and UNC will clash in the semifinals. And I'm thrilled for him because more than likely he's only going to be at Duke for this last couple of months. And then he's on to the NBA. Great. He looks like he's ready, doesn't he? But the whole idea, the whole point of him going to school was because he wanted to be part of that Duke tradition, wanted to learn from Coach K. He wanted to play basketball with his guys, and he wanted to experience the rivalry. And so we'll get Duke UNC part three coming up on Friday night in the semis, and Zion will finally have a chance, barring any unforeseen circumstances. Let's hope there are not. He was wearing Kyrie 4s, by the way. So he went from the Nike Paul George to the modified Kyrie 4s. I'm assuming they were modified specifically for the pressure he was going to put on those shoes. Let's see. UVA and Florida State in the other half of the ACC semis. And so this will be fun. Looking forward to that. It's appointment TV, even on a Friday night. After hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, we now have full phone lines, which is great, but you're going to have to wait until we welcome our guest coming up 10 minutes from, not even 10 minutes from now. We'll talk a little bit about the Baltimore Ravens and what's been a topsy-turvy free agent period at this point. Is it addition by subtraction? We shall find out. And so we'll talk Ravens coming up next with Rob Long, who's part of that morning show on 105.7 The Fan, our Baltimore affiliate. But we'll get to your calls. We'll reserve the whole back end of the hour for your calls, 855-212-4227. Elsewhere in basketball, now we're not yet to the NBA postseason, though it does start mere days after we crown our champions in both men's and women's college basketball. However, if you thought the Denver Nuggets would still be hanging around at this point in the season, challenging the Golden State Warriors for top spot in the West, well, then you should win a prize, because that's not what many people expected. And yet these Nuggets are fierce, they're tenacious, and, well, on Thursday night, they had a flair for the dramatic.
Jokic behind the three-point line, drives on Powell to the free throw line, turn around, spin, jump shot. Freaking loud, man. Holy cow, what a win.
It was all kinds of exciting. Nikola Jokic takes the inbounds pass with the Nuggets trailing by two, and he kind of dribbles around first at the three-point arc, and then down to the charity stripe, and he turns in toward the lane and then spins back the other direction and has to fall away with this one-handed shot. It wasn't quite as improbable as Dwayne Wade. Remember the double clutch three that he used to beat the Warriors, right? That was the Warriors a couple of weeks ago, but it was pretty impressive. Jason Kosmicki with the call there on the Denver Nuggets radio network. So they remain within a game of the idle Golden State Warriors last night for the top spot in the West. And there was something else about Denver that I was going to mention. Oh. If you haven't seen the video of Luka Doncic and his reaction when that ball went through the hoop, yeah, it's priceless. The reaction, the dejected shoulders slumping. I mean, if you think the Dallas Mavericks don't care about winning or the rookie doesn't, well, you should make sure you check out that response. All right, coming up next, a few minutes in Baltimore. What are the Ravens doing in this free agent period? And how happy are they about Lamar Jackson going 105 miles per hour? No, they're not happy about that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Three wide out to the left. Watson back to pass. Looking, throws over the middle, and it's intercepted! Intercepted! Earl Thomas coming straight up the middle of the field into Houston territory. He will take it to the house. Earl Thomas with an 80-yard pick six.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What a moment for the new safety of the Baltimore Ravens, Brendan Gowden, on the Westwood One Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I have looked and watched and wondered about the Ravens in free agency. I've gotten a lot of reactions. Want to get an opinion from Baltimore, though. So we're pleased to welcome Rob Long, part of the morning show of our affiliate in Baltimore, 105.7 The Fan. And Rob, when you see what the Ravens have done to this point, losing some of the veterans, the most recognizable names and faces in their defense, adding Earl Thomas, adding Mark Ingram, of course, the Joe Flacco trade, what's the sum of all these parts?
Well, that's the great question, because that's what the Ravens are. The sum has been greater than the parts, to be honest with you, especially on that defensive side of the football. Terrell Suggs is going to be a Hall of Famer. You're going to miss Terrell Suggs. Great personality, character. He's been a face of his defense. But the truth be told, Terrell Suggs had a sack and a half, I believe, in the last nine games of the regular season. He kind of lost a little bit down the stretch there and didn't get a whole lot from him. C.J. Mosley, very, very good inside linebacker, but you got to ask yourself, especially with his weakness in coverage, did you want to pay that kind of money for him? The Ravens know him better than everybody. It's not my money, but you know, one of the things going into free agency, I question, do you pay that much for an inside linebacker who is very, very bad in pass coverage? In today's NFL, you have to be able to cover, and he just couldn't do it.
Okay. What about Eric Weddle?
Yeah, again, I think, you know, Eric Weddle, you know, if you and I would have talked about this 2 weeks before, I would have told you the same thing. You know, he's a man who made the Pro Bowl a lot off of reputation. I asked the question before they announced whether or not, because we had a debate on the show, whether or not they were going to keep Eric Weddle. I asked people, give me one Eric Weddle moment. And no one could come up with it. Give me a moment. Give me an Eric Weddle moment. I go back to the Kansas City Chiefs game where, you know, several passes were thrown in the middle of the field that should have been, defended, and they were not. You know, he was a tremendous safety, but over the past two years or so, not so much. So I really don't think I think the Ravens are headed in the right direction. They're getting younger, and they're moving on. I like the moves or the moves that they did make, I should say.
How do you like the addition of Earl Thomas?
Oh, man. Oh, Earl Thomas, you know, we talked about it on the show yesterday. It's arguably the best safety of his generation. You know, he's going to wear a gold jacket one day, in my opinion. He is the best safety the Raiders have had since Ed Reed. I'm not comparing him to Ed Reed, because Ed Reed is going to put on a gold jacket. But he is the best cover safety they've had. And you talk about pass defense, he's that guy that can do that. He's a ball-hopping safety in the middle of the field. When he's healthy, he's tremendous. That's the key, whether he's going to be healthy or not. I think he's hungry. After what happened in Seattle and how he left there, I think he comes into Baltimore hungry, ready to prove that he's still that guy.
Rob Long of 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What does Lamar Jackson need to learn, work on, improve on in this offseason?
Still off social media. That's number one.
I mean, it really shouldn't be that difficult to not post a video of yourself breaking multiple laws.
Like I told you yesterday, Amy, Jared Tax, you know, there's certain things that we'll never understand that you know, it's a different world now, but that is not smart. He has to learn how to be a leader, but honestly, what he needs to learn on the football field, I think it's just a matter of repetition. I mean, you know, whenever you have a new job, even when you're good at it, you need repetition to become better at it. From everything I hear, he has a tremendous work ethic. I hope that work ethic goes to the off season and he puts in the time and the work. I hope he gets with some of these receivers as well, the tight ends and the young wide receivers, and works with them, because timing and knowing what they're going to do, when they're going to break their routes and things like that, is very important. But I think he needs to marry himself to that playbook, and he needs to work extremely hard in the off season. I think he has the talent to be the Ravens quarterback of the future. I think he can be a franchise quarterback. I like Lamar Jackson. But, in terms of being a passer, a pure passer in the NFL, he needs some work.
Okay, so then if we look at the model that helped them win 6 of 7 games last season and obviously win the AFC North, how consistent do you think they will be with the ball control game where he sometimes is running as much as he's passing?
Well, I think that's why they went out and got Mark Ingram, another running back. They're going to have a really good running game, but I don't think that. I don't think what you saw last year is how they're going to move forward. That's not even what Lamar Jackson was in college. There's no way. I think what you saw was Greg Roman, more so than Marty Bornewick. I thought Greg Roman was great in putting in a running game and made it work last year. But I don't think that's the plan moving forward. You can't have that as a plan. Again, I saw Lamar Jackson play a lot of games in college, and that was never how he played then. I think what you saw was Greg Roman being a tremendous innovator and putting the system in place so that the rookie couldn't fail and get exploited early in his career. I don't think that's the model moving forward.
Is it going to be weird with no Joe Flacco there after all these years?
I guess in a way, yeah, it will be weird. I guess it won't be as weird, Andy, because we saw it at the end of the last season.
Sure.
You know, if Joe Flacco started 16 games, or if Joe Flacco only missed 3 weeks and finished out the season, and then you make this change, then it'll be a little weird. But the Ravens kind of prepared us for this already because, you know, Lamar Jackson, honestly, it's I would have to really sit down and think about Joe Flacco even quarterbacking last year, because the last, nine games of the season, we saw Lamar. And that's how the season ended. So it won't be as weird. I think, to me, it won't get weird until I turn on a Broncos game and see him in a Broncos uniform. Mm-hmm. It's less weird to see Lamar in the center, but it'll really be weird when I finally see Joe in a Broncos uniform. It's like when I saw Peyton Manning in a Broncos uniform. I'm like, wow, that just happened.
It's jarring, yes.
How
much do you, considering what's been a bit of a roller coaster over the last 5 years, how much do you like the commitment to John Harbaugh?
I was not a John Harbaugh fan. I was not. I thought he was a good coach, but I did not know whether he was a product of having tremendous leaderships and multiple Hall of Famers on his team before. However, I was really sold on him last year. When he made that quarterback change in the middle of the season and kept it in stride, I compared it to, you know, you're driving down a highway and you change your tire without stopping the car. You know what I mean? That's what he did, in my opinion, last year. And he really won me over. And then I start thinking, when has John Harbaugh ever lost his team? When have you ever heard rumblings in the locker room about leadership in terms of coaching? Mm. He never has. You know, he's had a losing season when the year that Joe Flacco went down. Although the season was going down before Joe Flacco was injured. That's not why they had a losing season. That was just a bad year. He's had a lot of transitions. He's had a lot of things happen in his organization, and he's never lost a team. And it didn't dawn on me until last year. And I went from being, you know, I'm not sure about John Harbaugh to, you know what, this man is a leader of men. You just don't have that often for over a decade in the National Football League. So last year made me really change my tune on John Harbaugh.
That's a great point. All right, Rob, before I let you go, is it true, yes or no, that you've never eaten Taco Bell?
I've never, ever eaten Taco Bell. That is 110% true.
Why?
I don't know, because it doesn't look appealing to me. It just, you know, I love tacos. Don't get me wrong. I love tacos. There's some great small Mexican places here in Baltimore that know me in the area that I live, Middle River and Perry Hall. But I've never once in my life said, hey, let's go to Taco Bell.
Well, what if I show up one morning and I'm doing a show there again and I've got Taco Bell? Would you eat it? Or is this one of those deals where you're dying on this hill? You're going to live the rest of your life on this earth with no Taco Bell experience.
You know what? I never say never, and I refuse to die on any hill. So, I mean, if you brought me Taco Bell and you said, let's eat it, I mean, I'm not going to let you watch me eat it.
No,
you
know, I wouldn't let you eat it all.
You're going to have to eat it with me, and then I'll probably eat some Taco Bell. But honestly, and I've had some late nights, Amy. And, you know, that's the place that's open real late. It's like in Baltimore, I think it's open like till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I've never said, hey, let's go to Taco Bell now. No. I'd rather go to the 24-hour Subway or something.
Oh, okay. Well, just for the sake of argument, this is one of these things I'm going to do one day so I can say I'm the girl that brought Rob his first and maybe only Taco Bell. I love that. I mean, who doesn't want to be the first? All right. So I'm going to let you get ready for your morning show. And he's the co-host of the Big Bad Morning Show on, this just minus Taco Bell, on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. That's our affiliate.
It's not sponsored by Taco Bell either.
No, I know it's not. That's just your deficiency. 6 to 10 Eastern Time. And you can follow him at Rob Long Sports. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jazz on the offensive side. They swing it to the left baseline. Here comes Donovan. He rises high with the right hand. Here comes the boom. Donovan Mitchell gliding in the air for a right-hand dunk. And the Jazz lead at 111-94.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I won't call it the dunk of the century, because every time someone refers to a particular sporting event as the game of the century, it drives me nutso. However, it might be a candidate for dunk of the year. Donovan Mitchell going baseline from the corner and slamming it home. It was fierce. David Locke with the call on the Utah Jazz Radio Network, and a victory for the Jazz with Spider Mitchell, who was spearheading that 24.6 assists. Also had that huge moment in the fourth quarter that set the arena on fire. And that was great. But before the game, there were some, I think, important moments with the owner of the Utah Jazz, Gail Miller. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And don't forget, this weekend, make sure you sign up for the After Hours Bracket Challenge. You can do that on either Twitter or on Facebook. It's pinned to the top of both of our show accounts. Gail Miller took the microphone in front of the fans there in Utah, and she wanted to make a strong statement. To me, she sounded very emotional. She looked emotional, almost as though she was shaking because of how important it was to her to not only stick up for her city and for the fans in Utah, but also point the finger at the incident earlier this week between Russell Westbrook and the fan who's now been barred from the arena.
I am extremely disappointed that one of our, quote, fans conducted himself in such a way as to offend not only a guest in our arena, but also me personally, my family, our organization, the community, our players, and you as the best fans in the NBA. This should never happen. We are not a racist community. We believe... we believe in treating people with courtesy and respect as human beings.
So Gail Miller, as the owner of the Utah Jazz, made sure that she took that microphone and made her statement and decried what happened with the fan who's now been barred. And we've seen a lot of NBA players come out in support of Russell Westbrook, even though he was fined by the NBA. And so I thought it was important that Utah's owner, really the one who sets the tone for that arena and for the team, not the arena, for the team, that she make that statement, and that there was in no way anyone who could mistake where her loyalties were lying, even though that happened with one of their fans. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to your calls here in a second, but I also want you to hear from the NFL, from the general manager of the Buffalo Bills. So you remember going back to the Antonio Brown situation, and it was this time last week. We were starting to find out that he wasn't going to go to Buffalo and that he had kind of nixed the deal with the Steelers and the Bills because he didn't want to play in Buffalo. And so then you started hearing all these reasons why Buffalo wasn't a good free agent destination. I was here waving the flag for Western New York and Buffalo. Well, Brandon Bean had enough and fired back on Thursday.
That pissed me off, to be candid, because it was an ignorant comment or whatever. And I don't, you know, I'm not on social media, but if you live in Buffalo or you know anything about Buffalo, I mean, don't speak about Buffalo if you don't know what this city and what this fan base is like. I mean, it really pissed me off. And because it's not true. And when you talk to players, and it was not, how many guys flowed through here today? 8, 9, whatever. And we could have had more. We didn't have that narrative. It was total started with a bad rumor on the whole Antonio Brown thing, people looking for reasons, and they didn't have all the facts. And, again, people that have been here, I can't tell you how many players commented, this is amazing, this is awesome, what a facility, what a place, what a culture, all that stuff that we have going here. And, you know, this city is, you know, we love it, and all I'm going to say is, anybody that says that doesn't know Buffalo and really is just speaking out of ignorance.
Happy Friday to you too, Buffalo Bills fans. You got a GM who's got your back. All right, our phone number is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Nathaniel, who's in Portland, Oregon. Welcome.
Amy, I think you just rolled off the red carpet for me. I tell you, this is, I don't know if you believe in serendipity, but I just moved here from Western New York 2 years ago.
Did you?
And I was a Bills season ticket holder for about 7 years. You know, I love my team. And, like, I wasn't even going to go there with it, but you kind of, like, steered the conversation in that direction just before I came on the phone. So I appreciate you playing that soundbite. I love Brandon Bean, like, you know, Bills Mafia as a whole. We've loved the moves that he's made in the last couple of years, you know, the dead weight that he shed and, you know, sticking up for the city of Buffalo. I mean, you know, that is Buffalo. If you had told me that soundbite had come from Kyle Williams, I would have believed you. If you'd have told me it came from Brandon Bean, I would have believed you. Coach McDermott, I would have believed you. Like, everybody's on board, and it really is kind of turning into a Buffalo against everybody kind of thing. So I love it. Good. I love how, like, this whole AB situation has just galvanized, you know, the fan base. And, you know, I've been listening to you all week, and I've been hearing you, you know, giving us our, you know, our love. So I appreciate that.
Go ahead. Did you have something else you want? No, it's okay. I just want to make sure you get in what you wanted to say about Hard Knocks real quick.
Right. So, I think the Raiders really would be my top choice. And, you know, the whole AB and Carr thing aside, I think, you know, the drama and, you know, just the adversity that, you know, Oakland is, like, facing and, you know, it's overcoming, like, last year with, like, their defense struggles and, you know, the team moving to Las Vegas and, you know, that whole fiasco of, like, where are we going to play?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to play in, you know, San Diego? And, like, would just be a huge slap in the face of the fan, you know, the fan base and all that. And I just think that, you know, and especially Derek Carr, you know, the guy just had such a great season. I mean, he was an MVP candidate and just had a horrific injury and just, you know, the adversity that he, you know, faced trying to come back from that. And, you know, I'm sure that locker room is still reeling over losing Khalil Mack and, you know, living in the shadow now, you know, apparently of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I just think there's a lot of, like, you know, drama, a lot of adversity, you know, a lot of adversity to overcome. But I definitely would love to see the Raiders and, you know, how they handle that and how they sort of gel as a team. And of course,
Gruden. I mean, I was going to say, yes, Coach Gruden with the Chucky face for sure. I would agree with that. All right, Nathaniel, thank you so much for your phone call. Hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, Amy. God bless.
All right, let's quick work in Gil, who's in Dallas. Gil, I'm not kidding. I have 60 seconds for you. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Amy. I wanted to get it in real quick because I didn't get to talk last night about your grade on the offseason about the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't done much. Not that we ever do during the offseason. But, I mean, we re-signed our fullback. We brought in a backup left tackle. Do you see us making any moves? If not, I mean, do you think we're going to do anything in the draft?
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, the draft is... It's Jerry Jones's baby. He loves the draft. He loves the combine. I understand it can be frustrating when it feels like everybody else around you is making huge moves and you're doing a whole lot of nada. But it's also foolish to spend money that you don't have or you don't have allocated for those particular resources. So they know where their money is have to be spent in the future. Obviously, Earl Thomas was too expensive for them, but the Amari Cooper deal will be coming up very soon. So it's better not to spend money when you're just throwing it away as opposed to spending it wisely. So I'm okay with what they're doing. They've done really well in the draft in the last couple of years. Gil, thank you so much for your phone call from Dallas. We had a Patriots fan who was complaining about the fact that the Patriots hadn't done a whole lot either. And so I say, just give them some time. It's March. All right, we've come to... almost the end of our run of shows for the week.
Come on, click, boom!
Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom! I just laid down the A-law. Boom!
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines, a direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown!
And the most sizzling reaction.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate it. The greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
I'm very, you know, excited. I'm always excited to be the state in Cleveland.
It's the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Cross court, it's Boeheim. In on Reddish. The longer player forced the pass, and now a steal by Zion. And a run out, and a right-handed rack attack! That sends this place into a frenzy.
I wanted to be out there every game. You know, I see my brothers out there battling, and I just wanted to go to war with them. There was no question about it. I knew I was going to be back. Everybody has their right to their own opinion, but I knew I was coming back the whole time.
And back in a big way. He does not miss a shot. Zion Williamson, 13 for 13 in his return in the ACC quarterfinals against Syracuse. 29 points, 14 rebounds, many of them on the offensive end. He was a load. His bulk, it was too much for the Orange to deal with. David Shoemate with the call on the Learfield IMG College Network. So Zion is back, And it's perfect timing because he will get his moment. Duke, UNC, Friday night, ACC semifinals. And I'm excited about that. It seems like appointment TV. And that will lead us ever closer to Selection Sunday on CBS. Don't forget that we'll be here afterwards. But you want to see the brackets for the first time? Sunday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Looking forward to the After Hours Bracket Challenge and to breaking it down and to guessing where we think will look brilliant come March Madness. Talk to you Sunday night, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.